getting all those extra things ready and out of the way. Boy, well, my wife's not here, extra things to do. So, all right. Well, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 14, and hopefully we'll finish up. If not, I guess we'll have one more lesson, huh? All right. We're going to start in verse 23, so we'll start with that verse, and we'll kind of roll through with the rest of that. So, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that when we look into your scriptures, we know the truths that are there. Father, we know that your word is a convicting word, and it will show the failures that we have in our lives. Father, we thank you that it's a light that shines in there and allows us to remove those flaws that are there. Father, we thank you also that it's a convicting word that saves the lost. And Father, when they hear it, they will know that they must be saved. And Father, if they reject, they know that the punishment that will be there, and they will stand without excuse one day. Father, I thank you for the truths that are here. I thank you for our church that lives according to Scripture. It teaches according to Scripture. It is an example, I believe, that other churches need to exemplify. And Father, we know that many churches are different. We know that order of service, how the word is presented, will vary from church to church. But we know, Father, if they're teaching from the Scriptures, there'll not be any lies, there'll not be any falsehoods, there'll not be anything that will stop somebody from not realizing that they need to be saved or that they need to get right with you. Father, now I thank you for that. I thank you for these lessons. I thank you for the children's classes going on as well. And Father, we know that your word is going forth, and we only want to glorify you in all that we do and all that we say. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, when we left off, we were talking about the essentially interpretation or how the services are laid out, and the Apostle Paul gives some clear guidance, and I think, well, I don't know, Pastor, when you started the church, what did you have to go on when you set your services up?
Previous experience, that's it.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, what I mean, we can go to some churches, maybe they'll sing, two songs, and they might have an opening prayer, or, you know, have an opening prayer immediately. They might have a scripture reading. There's all variety of how the services are there, but what the Apostle Paul is trying to lay out is that, like verse 40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. And what he's trying to get the Corinthians to understand is that bringing the world's ideas in is not right. And we've mentioned it all through chapter 14 that, you know, there are many that, I guess, like to show off in church. Hey, I got this gift. I know I can talk in this language. I don't know what it means, but I'm going to see how it does, you know. And when they're doing it, All they're doing is, as we mentioned, is just showing a light on them, and really they're only talking to God, not to others around them. And what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out, because the New Testament had not been written at this point completely, was that prophesying was the importance to get those new revelations out. And it's interesting as it goes through here, the verses we just read, that if somebody comes into the church and you know, it's like, well, for instance, if we went to a predominantly Spanish-speaking church, you know, they're teaching out of the New Testament, but I think very few of us would follow through other than we can maybe say hallelujah with them. But you know, if they're teaching the gospel, but they're teaching it in that language, it's unknown to us. You know, and so we'd be kind of lost. We probably wouldn't think that they were mad, but somebody else might, you know, as this church has already proven, is that they're a laughing stock when they're doing things like this. And there's no order in that church. And all the other things that have gone on, I can imagine what the town thinks. Well, you know, don't go to that Corinthian church over there. There was just a bunch of lunatics in there. They got people that they think, I think they're babbling over there. They don't speak in our language. And they're over there and they got, you know, these parties going on all the time. You know, it's a party and happening in church, you know. I don't know, maybe it'll draw people in. But, you know, what he's really trying to point out is that the church needs to have a planned outlay, how the service goes. I mean, it's sad that, I know pastors probably gone through going, man, I had a hard time getting through that. I hope it's all there, you know. But when we ask the Lord, I mean, it's going to go out there. The Lord's going to take care of that. Even if inwardly we're going, I had a difficult time with that part. And I know I've had lots of times of like, oh, how can I get that across? Or, well, I hope I came across okay, you know, and just kind of, well, Lord, it's on your hands. You know, it reminds me of the illustration about the country preacher and his wife, you know, I guess they had chickens and they were selling eggs and stuff like that. But what she was, every time she said he had a good sermon, you know, she'd put away an egg. And if he had a bad one, she'd sell it or something like that. Well, I guess, you know, and when she died, he found out that she left quite a bit of money there and realized that not all of his sermons were really good. She was selling a lot of eggs. You know, she kept some, but, you know, kind of like, okay, not all of them may go out real well, but, hey, when it's in the Lord's hands, he makes all things possible. So if the real goal is, when preaching the gospel, it's to convict the backslidden, but it's also to convict those that need to be saved. And that's the real purpose of the gospel and church services. You know, some people go, man, I like to go listen to that guy. He can keep me laughing the whole way through that service. Well, you know, maybe the guy is a stand-up comedian or something, but in reality, was he teaching anything other than a bunch of new jokes? Or maybe just a bunch of illustrations. You know, get the word out. And it's so important. And that's what these verses here are saying. And it says, thus the secrets of his heart are made manifest. In other words, what's inwardly is brought out. The Lord, you know, he's that great heart surgeon. He knows what we need, when we need it, and just gets us to realize that, hey, we need to make a new step. So one of the questions that comes up here is, you know, how might a congregation convict an unsaved visitor and help him trust Christ as his Savior? Well, short of beating him with the Bible, and you know. But, you know, how might a congregation, you know, and I know here, you know, when there's somebody new here, there's not that we don't always have an invitation, but there's that point of we don't know what that person's soul condition is. So it's important to get out there. So what might we do when there's a new, to help convict an unsaved visitor? Lynn?
Well, I think we can communicate out of love, of course, our own need for the Savior,
right,
for that forgiveness.
Sure.
In order to have any kind of relationship, a real relationship with God, we have to have that.
Right, exactly. And it's important that we personally understand it, and an unsaved person coming in, they're going to hear the gospel here. There's no two ways about it. If somebody comes out and goes, man, you don't teach nothing about the gospel here, well, I think they were like this, you know, and the devil was plugging their ears, because you hear it, and it's such that it's correction for us for the errors that are in our lives for those of us that are saved, and then for those that are not. So, and I know, you know, anybody else have any other, you know, how a congregation might, you know, as a group? Pastor?
Well, I think the peace and order is a message to those who come in, that's talking about.
Right, exactly.
And just helping them with where they need to go, if they need to catch kids to the nursery.
Sure.
Whatever, and those things, and then with them praying for them.
Exactly.
That welcome.
Right. Welcome when they come in, because, you know, I mean, we don't lay, in our bulletins, for instance, we don't lay out what the order of service is. Our songs, you know, the little song sheets that Charlie follows and I follow, and if Anna's here, you know, it's got the songs, and it'll say prayer, and then it'll have a song and an offering, and then it'll have another song or two, and then, you know, then it'll be scripture reading and preaching, and then a closing song. And, you know, but that's not publicly preached or laid out. Some people's in there, if you open up their bulletin, they have their order of service in there, kind of tell you what the topic might be. We like to surprise people here. Don't you, Pastor?
Yes.
No, the memory verse, oftentimes, if when you get the bulletin, you look at the memory verse, you go, oh, well, there must be something about that. Usually his memory verses fall in there. But there is really kind of an order in things. You know, somebody comes in that's new, and if they have children, like Pastor says, we'll ask them, hey, we have a nursery here if you want. Some people don't feel real comfortable with that. A couple times, boom, in the nursery they'll go. You know, or maybe they have little ones and it's Sunday school time, or that type of orderliness when it comes in here. It's not chaotic. You know, some bigger churches, I mean, they have people roaming all the time, and that's really to kind of help in case somebody comes in and wants to know where to go. Here, fortunately, we have a nice foyer where they come into. They can see, well, I can go here, or I can go here, and know what it is, and somebody oftentimes will greet them, try to get a visitor card. So there is an order, even though it's not overly formal. Some churches are very formal in that. They still teach the gospel. I mean, you know, when they give offering, I've been in churches where when the offering plate goes to the back, next thing you know, here come the ushers holding it up, and they have a doxology, you know, and they, you know, praise God from whom all, whatever, and they place it up there at a table, and that's where it is. You know, people know, oh, okay, they're not back there going, okay, I need to put that one away, and I need change for my money. Oh, okay. But, yeah, some churches, the ushers take it off, and they go count it, you know, and take care of it. Some churches are very proud for their offerings. Nothing wrong with that. So there's a variety in their services, and that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get out, is that when people come in, they don't think that there's a bunch of lunatics in here, because what's happening in the verse is, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. What he's trying to tell everybody here is that, you know, people must have been very excited. Hey, last night, God gave me this great revelation, and, you know, while somebody else is teaching, he's so excited, he just starts standing up talking too. And it might be in an unknown tongue, or you know, so all of a sudden you've got all these people jumping up and talking and you know, complete confusion. And if an unsaved person was in there, Paul calls them unlearned. You know, they didn't know the scriptures. They're unlearned from that. Would think, these guys are a bunch of idiots. I'm going to sneak out the back door so nobody knows that I even came in here. I don't want to be associated with them because they are nuts in there. But, you know, and it really could be people got their revelation. It's just that they couldn't wait their turn. You know, it's like testimony time. Not everybody's real quick to jump up and give a testimony, but if they're excited about giving a testimony, the Lord's laid something on their heart, sometimes they will. There'll be hands going up all over the place. Again, that makes it a little bit orderly rather than just jumping up and start talking, you know. I can only imagine, you know, just having, what is it, Brother Joe gets involved with, popcorn sermons? You know, little 1 or 2 minute segments, you know, that could be confusing, especially if they don't have a little control over it. You know, oh, I've been studying this section. Wait a minute, I want to talk about that now. You know, they wouldn't. What they weren't doing was waiting their turns. And the other, along with this, is that he was having them realize there needs to be order in this. But when they present something of revelation, because a lot of new things were coming up, a lot of the church writings the were collaborating the verses and scriptures and things that were written as scriptures, the King James translators used a lot of that to validate the canon of scriptures, to help them when they translated. But what the Apostle Paul was trying to get people to do is, when something new was presented, somebody else was there to validate what that was, what it meant, especially if he spoke in an unknown language. That interpreter was able to go in there and scrutinize, is it the word of God or not? Because what do the Jews, what do they do about a false prophet? Don't they kind of kill the guy? You know, woe be it to the person that gets up and starts spewing the wrong material. And of course, Adam goes, no, that's not exactly what God wants you to be teaching us. I'm sure that probably created some confusion too. There were people up there. If there was an interpreter, the whole basis was the truth is going out. God understands that truth when others around might not understand it, but that interpreter can expose the truth or not. And that's one of the dangers of people coming in trying to make, you know, the gift of tongues the predominant thing. So the Apostle Paul is trying to point out that only two, at the most three. So it you know, it'd be like, you know, somebody getting up and teaching a portion of scripture, or maybe reading scripture, or maybe reading a little bit with it, and somebody else would expound on what was said. That's kind of what my take in of it is. And some services actually are set up in that way, where they have a scripture reading. They might have somebody else's teaching with it. And then another person would expound over the whole thing to kind of just bring it out. Expository, is that what would be the right term in that way? But, you know, but they're explaining it further. So each of these people were actually should be building on one another. And that's why the Apostle Paul was trying to point that out. It's kind of like some pastor's conference you go to where you have two or three different speakers up there, and you get to look, and not, you know, they come from all parts of the country, and you look, all of them are teaching the same thing. You know, one thing extra. It's kind of like pastor here. We don't collaborate during the week. Sometimes all of a sudden his messages or the lesson blends in with what's being spoke, and it's like, wait a minute here. I think God's got his hand working on this thing. So it says, but it's, verse 28 says, but if there are it's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. In other words, if the person knows that there's not an interpreter there, he should not stand up and speak. Now there's some that just to show off are going to do it. But like I said earlier in this chapter, the speaker that has that, if he's going to speak in an unknown tongue, he's praying there is an interpreter. It's like, God really gave me this thing, but I there's no way for me to say it in our normal language. It's just given to me in this other language, because maybe there is somebody there that needs that. And that's the interpreter that you know, the guy will stand up later and goes, I heard exactly what that man said. I needed it. This has been in my life. He helped me see what was wrong. Next thing you know, he's expounding on it. And so the church gets edified because of it. And that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to get through. He says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. Now we got the person that's judging what's going on. And this is where the revelation of what's going on is happening. And the prophets and the church was trying to establish an orderly service, not that it's disrupted. Two or three speaking in a service, and the words that they're saying is being evaluated by another. Essentially like the one speaking in tongues with an interpreter. He's essentially validating what this person says. And it makes it exciting to see, because the one judging has probably got the gifts of discerning spirits. So he's able to go in there and say, well, this is what it means to me. You know, so the word is judged whether it's false or not. Because, well, we know false doctrine was going out even during this time before it was written. So it's important to realize that, you know, they were to act, this judge was to act as checks on the person claiming to be a prophet and his assertion of offering new revelation. And that was happening all the time, all through there. A lot of the early church fathers were writing their notes down, and oftentimes when they would write something down, they needed somebody. It's kind of like when Brian writes a paper in electronics. It's reviewed by others that are of like area, called peer review. Well, that's what's really happening here, is the prophets that were speaking, they were being essentially judged for what they're saying. And if they knew it was of God, then they did it in turn. They took their, you know, they said let two or three. So, you know, they don't want, well, what is it? And the witness of, in the presence of two or three, you know, is truth comes out. So that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to get people to realize, the importance of getting that word out so that it's not an unruly service, is what was happening. There was essentially chaos. Sometimes it's like some Sunday school classes with young ones, you know, absolute chaos. Children's church. Although I think that's the goal behind, you know, the children's church leader is to control the chaos. Let them have some fun and get the teaching across. Because I've gone into some of those and I'm just like, what are they going to learn in there? You know, they've got a guy making balloons and clowns and doing all sorts of stuff just to keep their attention. Brother Charlie knows all about that. I'm sure Pastor does. You know, each one of us, you know, that's ever worked with you, sometimes that's how you keep their attention, but you want to keep it controlled. That's really what the Apostle Paul wants. There may be chaos with youngsters, or seem to the adults, but in reality, it's getting, that's they tend to learn that way. Now with us older ones, we want it kind of, you know, kind of quiet, kind of want to learn. But what they're really wanting to get across is that, you know, that for ye may all prophecy, verse 30, I'm sorry, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold thy peace. And then, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And by the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So they're determining, the prophets are judging, are making sure what is said is said and properly said. And so it establishes a kind of a prescribed order of service. And one of the questions talked about that. This is, do you think a prescribed order of service helps or hinders a church's goal of edifying believers? Well, it's kind of almost a rhetorical question. You know, if it's prescribed or, you know, planned out, you know, and there's times in our service where we have a missionary come in and, you know, we're going to hear shortly, but, you know, Sunday school time is they present their ministry to us. And then in the church service time, they usually have a preaching, and they might say a little bit more about it. But if, for instance, maybe they're here for a short period of time, our morning service or whatever service they're at, it's turned over to the missionary, and he runs that. I think back on the Kleins when they set their, he did their service as if they were teaching the Mupichi people. You know, it was very informal. In fact, he walked around with his cup of tea, and everybody sipped from that same cup, you know, and everybody's like, I'm gonna wipe that off before I do that, you know. Kind of, no, you know, it was a very common practice. And so he kind of gave us a little culture of what it was, but it was very orderly, and it wasn't such that there was confusion or unruly. It was different maybe to us because it was their custom. And it's nice to see how, well, it is orderly, but it's not what we're accustomed to. It's like sometimes going to a different church, they might do something a little bit different. Maybe some churches, they're more mission-oriented, say, than we are, and every service they have something about missionaries. They might bring that in. But again, it's edifying. It's not disorganized. It's very organized. And the whole of it is that this is, for God is not the author of confusion, verse 33 says. And we go back to that. I don't know how many times we go back to it, but we think that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. That's what he wants in his church. He wants order. He wants peace. Doesn't mean you can't, you know, praise the Lord, hallelujah, you know, amens. But it's not such that somebody's jumping up right in the middle of what pastor's preaching going, God told me last night that you don't know what you're talking about, or whatever. I'm sure that a couple of us would probably usher that person out carefully. But, you know, we want a little order in it, you know. And that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to establish. And I think I'm going to end it right here, because the next one is the interesting one. And I'll probably pick that up next week. Because it talks about, it says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So we'll leave that there and let you ponder that one for this week. It was interesting. To be honest, I did some searching, because Dr. Reich wrote a great book, you know, what was it? Bobbed Hair, Bossy Wives, and Women Preachers, or something like that. It was a fun book that he wrote. But it was very serious about really why women should not be preachers. It doesn't mean that they can't pray in church out loud, that, you know, that they can't give testimonies and things like that. But we'll talk a little bit more about that next week and see what I learned. You know, I mean, I grew up, there were only men preachers. A lot of churches today are ordaining women into there, and just going beyond what the scriptures say. And that was really what was happening here in the church of Corinth. And it really bothered a lot of these. Not that Paul was a chauvinist or that women were dumber than men, because there's some very smart women. And I know I'm married to one.
Me too.
And she'll agree with me. No. I mean, but it's a loving relationship, and why it's important to realize why this Paul has asked for this order to come in. And maybe it'll be something new, maybe not, I don't know. But let's leave it there, and let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again for your loving kindness. We thank you for your blessings. Father, we thank you for the truth that you show us in your word. And Father, even when the topics might get a little concerning, or thinking that it's a hard subject to breach, you give us the peace with it. You give us the understanding of what you expect from your people. Father, I thank you now for loving us, taking care of us. And Father, I pray that you take us in the morning service, that our hearts are continually open for what you'd have us to learn and how to apply it to our lives. And we ask it for your son's sake. Amen.